Coming up on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast, we discuss the five league-winning running backs you must draft in 2023. Before we get into our top five, I do want to throw out honorable mention, and his name is Tony Pollard. Pollard is going to have a huge role this season with Zeke out. If you just look at the games where he played at least 50% of the snaps, Tony Pollard in his career averages 20 PPR points per game. That is elite top 3 to 5 running back levels there, folks. So that's why Tony Pollard is an honorable mention. But make sure you stay tuned as we break down our top 5 must-have running backs starting right now on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. And if I'm talking league winners, a league winner of mine is Ben Wasley. You go follow him at Ben. You can actually follow him at Fantasy First Down, no O on Twitter. What's going on, Ben?
What is happening? My phone just died yesterday. As you can see, it's just a big white light of nothingness at the moment.
So I like it.
That
like
has been my morning. It's kind of like Tony Pollard in that I ran it into the ground and now it doesn't work anymore. And that's what the Cowboys are going to do this year to Tony Pollard. He's going to be useless when he's given a heavy workload. He's great with Zeke. Now he's without Zeke. He's going to be useless. No, he's not that bad. He's still an RB1. But, yeah, looking forward to talking about our actual top five. But Pollard, I like Pollard. He's fine. He's solid. Where do you have him ranked?
So I recently went into my top 150, and I'm going to send an update out for everybody. And I actually moved him all the way up to the 1-2 turn. I've kind of gotten to a point where the ankle fracture that he had, it just sounds like there really isn't much of an impact on him. The other aspect of this too, I'm thinking like, this is why we play fantasy football. Like when a solid back on a per touch basis gets the workload, 2 + 2 = 4 for fantasy sometimes. And so Zeke's vacating so many primary carries inside the five. And I think they have Tony Pollard in his career. He's been okay on the goal line, about 5 conversions on 12 carries inside the 5. And that's about just above league average. So I'm not concerned. I think if he gets those touches, I think he's going to deliver. And they just talked about him today, too, about how he's decisive on the goal line. And they like that about him. So I think there's just more touchdown upside for this guy. And he's proven it. When he gets 50% of the snaps, he averages 20 PPR points per game. That is absurd numbers. So I actually moved him way up ahead of guys like Nick Chubb. And I have him just behind Bijan Robinson right now.
That is hot. I like it. I previously had him as my running back 9, but I'm doing a running back update this coming week for my next article coming out. And we'll see where he ends up. He's definitely going to go up a little bit, but very concerned about his ability to do the grinding between the, like between the 20s kind of work. It's not necessarily his strong suit. So we'll see if he handles that and whether that's going to wear down his ability to be explosive in the big play opportunities he's always thrived in.
Yeah, I agree. I honestly do feel that there's going to be, I just have a feeling after the first couple weeks of training camp, once the pads are on, you get more feeling for the backups. I have a feeling Dallas is going to either, hey, Zeke, how you doing, buddy? Just checking in. Want to see how you doing? Or, hey, you know what, Zeke? You don't like us? Fine. Hey, Leonard Fournette, how you doing? Like, I think keeping him fresh is a good thing, but it's just like he's going to be the 1A now. That's the difference. Like, he's going to be the guy who gets the primary work, which I'm looking forward to, and that's why I bought. Let's get into our top 5 league-winning running backs that you must draft in 2023. It starts at the top, a man who I hold dear to my heart and I have as a top 10 player this season. And you actually are now telling me he's a must-have player, a league winner. It's Derrick Henry. Current ADP is 19th overall, RB7. So tell us why Derrick Henry's a league winner in 2023.
The king is back. And let's face it, he was never really gone. He was injured, but he was never really gone. He's just really good at football. He's a fantastic running back. Last year, he was the running back 4. His O-line was terrible. Everyone's like, oh, you can't take Derrick Henry this year. He's coming off an injury. His O-line sucks. No way. He proves everyone wrong again. He doubled his reception yardage from any other season in his career last year. So he's added that string to his bow. Injuries aside, I think he's a really safe bet. You really can't go too wrong with him. And I can get him in most drafts, even though I'm ranking it as my RB5-6 region. Realistically, he's falling. People are not willing to take him, and I'm unsure why. I understand if you're in a PPR league, you know, I'd be like, well, there's more receptions going around elsewhere. But I think we're forgetting the fact that he still ended up with 30-something receptions last year. I know they drafted Tajay Spears in what, third round or something like that, but he's just a backup. They've really struggled backing up Henry in the past, and they need to get a proper backup, and that's sort of backup range in the NFL draft. So I think they've got a clear backup now. Spears may take a few more of those receiving touches, but realistically, Henry's still a good chance of being the rushing leader. He's so safe. I think you just need that safety in the early rounds. You can lose your league in those early rounds, but you're less likely to win it. So I'd rather take that safe bet and just make sure I'm getting that yardage every single week.
Yep, and I broke down Derrick Henry myself in my last episode. I talked about my five must-have players in the first two rounds. And just a short snippet of that, it's really like he was a complete difference maker last year at 19.1 PPR points per game. That's a point and a half better than Saquon Barkley, who was number five. So he was fourth in points per game in PPR. And that's PPR, by the way. It's going to get only better in half. But the other thing about Derrick Henry, too, is it going to get worse? I mean, the Titans just signed DeAndre Hopkins. Do you think they're going to try to go from 7-10 to 5-12? I don't think so. I think at worst, they'll probably be around 7-10, 8-9, which is only good for Derrick Henry. And I think Mike Vrabel is a great coach. And I like Tim Kelly as their new OC. So I'm excited for Derrick Henry. All right, let's jump down to Joe Mixon. And at this point, I don't even know what the heck's going on with Joe Mixon's ADP. It's still not high enough. It's right now today, ADP 39th overall, 15th RB off the board. So Joe Mixon's 2022 season, I almost feel like did it happen because like everyone's like, I don't want Joe Mixon. Last season, just last season, not 5 years ago, last season, RB6 in fantasy football. 17.1 PPR points per game. That's 2.3 PPR points per game more than the RB12. So the guy was a complete difference maker on a per game basis last year. Now, a lot of people are going to point to this one monster game he had where he had five touchdowns, 55 fantasy points. And that is true. It did bump him up significantly, that one monster game. However, in the 12 games, if you take out that game and you look at just the other games where he played 50% of the snaps last year, he averaged 14.6 PPR points per game. That would have been RB13 last year. So he's still, even in the, if you take out the monster game, which by the way, you shouldn't just completely remove it because it happens. It's the kind of upside you could get from him. But even the other games, he's still giving you borderline RB1 numbers and he's still not being viewed that way in drafts. And now the question is, okay, what's really changed heading into 2023? Well, first off, they added Orlando Brown, which is a solid left tackle. The one big issue they've had over the last few years is offensive line play, but particularly on the ends because they have dealt with injuries. Jonah Williams hasn't really produced like a first-round pick. Lyle Collins did okay last year, but he got hurt at the end of the year. But Orlando Brown immediately gives him the best left tackle that Joe Mixon's ever had, by the way. Joe Burrow, you name it. And then on top of that, the three guys in the middle, this is key. They're returning all three of the guys who they brought in last year are returning this season. So there's continuity in the middle of the line. They have a stalwart at the left side. And now also, Samaje Perine is gone. And Perine last season, when you look at the games where Perine was more involved versus when he wasn't. So there were seven games last year where Perine played 33% or less of the snaps. And honestly, I think that's a realistic target for guys like Williams and Chris Evans and Chase Brown. Those guys probably won't earn much more snap share like Samaje Perine did. In the seven games with Perine played 33% of the snaps or less. He averaged 15.7 PPR points per game. That's clear RB1 number. So the role's better. The offensive line's a little better. And I love it for him this year. So what's your thoughts about Mixon? Are you buying him this season? Or are you kind of fading him like ADP?
I 100% agree. I don't understand why everyone's been so low. I know there was a conversation for a while that maybe he might be out or maybe they might draft someone else. Neither of those things happened. And the fact that those things didn't happen tells us everything we need to know. It tells us that the Bengals are doubling down on Joe Mixon. Perine was a pretty solid backup. He's a good player, a good backup player, that is. They haven't brought anyone in, and none of their other backups are that great. I know that there's a lot of buzz in the fantasy community. There has been for years around guys like Chris Evans. He's a backup. He's the best at passing down back. He's absolutely no threat to Mixon. I know that Chase Brown is a new name and that seems exciting, but realistically, he's what, a fifth round guy, and rightly so. He's just a backup. They're basically fighting to be the running back two behind Mixon. And it's not like a 1A and 1B situation. It's a Mixon and then everyone else way below them. That's basically what we're expecting here. So Mixon is a running back one. He should be a running back one. He's a running back one most seasons. I know he's not going to necessarily win you your league with his like Jonathan Brown in 2021 style production. But realistically, where you're getting him, he could really be that kind of boost that you're going to get compared to all the other players who have more upside but way lower floors.
Yeah, and now for the next one, by the way, I just felt like you've been tuning into the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel and listening to me talk a little bit and try to butter me up a little bit because, you know, I'm a big James Conner guy, big Derrick Henry guy, so I appreciate that, Ben. This is why I have you back on, you know what I mean? Because you reassure me. Every time I feel uncertain, I get you on the show and we think alike, and I love that. James Conner, ADP 71st overall, RB25. Tell us why he is a potential league winner in 2023.
I feel like I'm in some sort of alternate universe where James Conner sucks because I don't understand what everyone else is saying. My view of James Conner is in the last eight games last year, he was the running back 4 overall. And everyone else is talking about how he's going to be useless this year. What's changed? I mean, Kyler Murray's not there, so he's not going to be running as much, meaning they're going to need to use Conner. Colt McCoy's there. He's going to check down a lot more, meaning more reception for Conner. Near the goal line, are you going to let Colt McCoy throw it? No, you're going to get James Conner to run it in. That's what he does really well. There's no threats there at all for touches. They're not going to give it to Corey Clement. They try Keontae Ingram. He sucked. Realistically, it's James Conner's backfield, and they're going to use him as much as they can. They're going to get as much as they can out of him this year, and then next year they've got an out in his contract, and they just move on to someone else. They're a rebuilding team, and rebuilding teams do tend to lean on their veteran running backs. Realistically, they're going to have to score a lot of points because their defense is really poor, and I know that means that often leads to teams chasing games. But with Colt McCoy, he's not going to be able to air it out and get the yards that way. They're going to need to check down to Conner a lot. I think he's going to get a lot of garbage time usage as well. There's a lot of upside there that we're just not seeing. It's not necessarily going to be pretty, and I'm certainly not expecting him to be the RB4 again. But where you're getting him in drafts, he's got real upside to compare to everyone else around him. I currently have him as my running back 19, and that's way too low. And I want to move him up. It's just a little bit scary knowing what else is going on. The thing that gives me the most pause, he's a little bit injury prone. But right, realistically, he's a running back and they're all injury prone. Every single running back is going to have some sort of injury risk. Everyone said about Derrick Henry, oh, he's never been injured. He's never missed a season. And then he got injured. It's just how it happens. Every running back is going to get injured sometimes. So there's always going to be some risk. A little bit more with Conner than others because they're going to have to use him a lot. But realistically, they were not giving anyone else any touches last year. He was getting over 90% of touches in a lot of games towards the end of last year, and they're going to keep doing that. James Conner is the guy you absolutely must take in your drafts.
Yes. Yep. 100%. Yep. And the other thing about James Conner, a couple things you brought up. The down the stretch run he had. By the way, Kyler Murray didn't even play in the second half of the year last year. He played one game after like week 10 because of the injury. So, you know, that doesn't even count. He's also had a better points per game last season with Colt McCoy. The main reason why I like Conner too is that I just did an analysis on Razzball.com about running backs' wins and losses and their production in PPR points per game. Conner was one of the 20 in this of the top 20. Let me stop there. Three of the top 20 running backs in my sample actually scored just as many fantasy points in wins and losses. One was James Conner, the other one was CMC, and the other one was Najee Harris. So the Vegas win totals, when you factor that all in, it doesn't impact him at all because he is good in pass pro. He's good in the passing game. And like you said, the best part about prevent defense when they're down two touchdowns is going to lead to a lot of checkdowns. So I am all in on James Conner this season. But yes, the key though is he'll probably miss four games, and that's okay because you only have to draft him in the sixth round. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's talk Kenneth Walker. So Kenneth Walker currently 43rd overall, RB17. When you look at Kenneth Walker, first off, Player Profiler connected him to LaDainian Tomlinson. And I understand that's a site. This is their measurables, his athleticism, the type of player he is. I understand he is not the pass catcher necessarily as LT2, my apologies. As a Giants fan, I have to say LT2 because Lawrence Taylor's our LT1. Anyway, but that's insane. That's the comparables this guy has, like how much of a talent he was last year as a second round. Now, Zach Cabernet threw some cold water on him, but like look at the coaching staff historically. Just in 2018, they drafted Rashad Penny in the first round. They ended up giving Chris Carson 240 carries that season. Penny was an afterthought. It does not matter that Pete Carroll is not the type of coach that cares. Even last season, if you look at the Kenneth Walker draft in the second round, Rashad Penny was out carrying him 12-3 per game before his injury in week five. So it's clear that the coaching staff leans on their veterans and draft capital does not matter. The other aspect of this too, I like, is I do feel like they drafted Zach Cabernet. Number one, because Walker, once again, has a groin injury, and also Cabernet has a shoulder injury. I get all that. But I think they'd like to have a running back that can also be a three down back. So I think they give Kenneth Walker that full workhorse role. And if he goes down, they want to plug in another talented back, similar to what we saw with Alexander Mattison and Dalvin Cook for years. Mattison was a stud backup, but he never played because Dalvin Cook was healthy. And then when Dalvin Cook went down, Mattison stepped into that role. I think that's something similar Seattle does with their offenses based on what we've seen in the history of the coaching staff. So was he any good? That's the question last season. Well, let's get into it. In 2022, he played 11 games over 50% of the snaps. He averaged 16.9 PPR points per game. That would have been RB7. That's Breece Hall numbers from last year, folks. A healthy Breece Hall, by the way. This season, they're returning four of five offensive line starters, and they added Evan Brown, a guard/center, to play center. In 2021, when he played center for the Detroit Lions, he was PFF's number 20 center. So they got an upgrade at center from that standpoint, and they also returning four or five starters. And by the way, two of the tackles were rookies last year. So this offensive line could be much improved this season for Kenneth Walker. So just to touch, just to finalize one thing I want to say too, is the offense as a whole. I mean, now you have JSN there along with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, and Geno's another year as the starter. This offense could go sky's the limit. So I'm all in on Kenneth Walker. What's your thoughts, Ben, on Walker?
I was quite high on Walker to start the preseason. I dropped a little bit on him. Obviously, drafting Charbonnet there really, really worried me. I'm a big fan of his, and I feel like he could kind of, as the season goes on, start to chip into the Walker workload as he starts to show what he can do. Having said that, we do know that Pete Carroll doesn't really love using his rookie running backs. The main concerns for me, though, you mentioned JSN coming into town. That means a lot less 1-2 personnel, and that means it's harder to get yardage on running plays. You want to ideally have two tight ends out there for your running back blocking. They're going to be doing that a lot less. They're going to be focusing more on, I expect a lot of 1-1 personnel, but we'll see how that goes. Regardless, that makes me a little bit nervous. The other thing that makes me nervous is he's currently got a groin injury where he's week to week. Now, to be fair, that injury is not as bad as the rookie Charbonnet's injury, which is a shoulder injury where he's out, I don't know, indefinitely, essentially. We don't know how bad it is. But the fact he's coming into the season, he's already injured, and there's only a couple of weeks left in the season, and he's week to week. That risk there has me like taking pause on him. If he was entirely healthy, I'd be totally up there with you on him. With him unhealthy, I'm willing to drop him down a little bit towards the RB17 range where he's going. Having said that, if you're going for upside, if you're someone who likes to take a risk, if you're someone who wants that league-winning upside, I think Walker probably has it. If they use him in the right way, he absolutely can win you your league if he plays to his potential. I just think it's very risky because there is a very low floor.
Interesting. So I looked it up. I was interested because you made a comment about the 11 personnel. And by the way, 11 personnel means three wide receivers and one tight end, and 12 personnel means two tight ends and two wide receivers essentially on the field. So Kenneth Walker last season averaged 4.2 yards per carry, 81 carries and 339 yards and five touchdowns. So a little ding. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good thought process there. I like that a lot. But still, I think he's just going to be on a great offense, high scoring upside. But that is a great caveat you just threw there. All right, last one we have for today is Alexander Mattison. I feel like he's very polarizing. And for some reason, people are not – Dalvin Cook is not – I don't think he's coming back, people. So 60th overall RB22 is a little confusing because, you know, the Vikings just last year produced a top 15 running back for fantasy football. So what's your thoughts on Mattison? Why are you calling him a league winner in 2023?
Mattison has had six spots starts in the last couple of weeks when Dalvin Cook's been injured. He didn't have any last season, but in 2020 and 2021, he had six starts. He averaged 80 yards and half a touchdown. That's enough for top five rushing over the season. So if he can keep that pace up, he's going to be right up in that top five conversation. We know the Vikings don't really like to use their backups much in the game. They stick him out there for a couple of plays, but realistically, they run with a workhorse, and that's likely to be Madison. They showed no interest in getting guys like Ty Chandler and Kenny and Wangwu out there. I know they drafted a youngster as well, but realistically, I think that it is Madison's backfield. And if it's Madison's backfield, they're going to use him like they used Dalvin Cook. Alexander Mattison is a really good running back. He was ranked by PFF in the top 25% of running backs in rushing last year. That's only starting running backs or backup running backs. We're not talking about scrubs. So realistically, he is a good running back. He's not fantastic, but he's good, and he's going to get the usage. In fantasy football, for running backs, you need two things. You need usage, and you need a relatively good offense. And we're talking about a team that made the playoffs last year, so their offense is going to be solid. So he's got the usage. The offense is good, and he's reasonably good running back. He's not up in that Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb kind of conversation, but he is going to be good enough to get up towards the RB1 rankings. In my opinion, these days, he's probably better than Dalvin Cook as a pure running back. He's a bit younger. He's a bit more explosive. And we saw what Dalvin Cook could do last year finishing that one running back one conversation. There's no reason to believe that Madison can't do exactly the same thing. I can't say I love him, but he is a really good guy. If you miss out on those early round guys, or alternatively, you just need a good running back too, I think he's the kind of guy that should be moving up into that sort of running back 17-18 conversation behind the other workhorse backs. He's probably the last of the workhorse running backs, but the last workhorse running back is still a lot better than the guys you're getting next, where they really are bit part players sharing a backfield. I'd much rather him over someone like, I don't know, David Montgomery, who you're going to have to take a round or two later on. There's such a big drop-off there. I think Madison's the kind of guy you can reach for slightly, knowing that there's nothing much after him.
I have him as an early fourth-round pick, really because he's the kind of guy where if you start receiver early, maybe receiver, he is like a great RB1 or 2 as a backup when you have elite wide receivers on your roster. And the reason why is simple. Like, if you just look at his career, he hasn't played a – I think when you look at his stats, you have to understand something. His yards per carry isn't special, 4.1. The last two seasons, sub 4. I get all that. But when you look, you have to understand, this guy gets like 3 carries, 2 carries, 3 carries. And it's for in a lot of those scenarios, it's end of game. Like Dalvin Cook, get off the field. Madison, go finish this game. And so it's really difficult in those situations to judge a player. So I actually isolated the games where he actually got over 10 carries in a game. So that gives us a more realistic when he has a good workload. How does he look? Well, his yards per carry jumps to 4.3, which is solid. That's perfectly fine. That's not, it's probably average, but it's not terrible at all. He averages 14.4 PPR points per game in those games. So that's solid. In 2022, that would have been RB15, but scoring was down last year for fantasy running backs. In 2021 and 2020, it would have been RB20. That's a lot of 20s. So essentially, it's that production when he gets double-digit carries would give you top 20 numbers for fantasy football on a per-game basis. So he's going RB22. And I think that another factor in this too is like a lot of running backs have a hot hand thing going. Like once he starts getting the ball and he's a full-time starter, I think that he'll probably be even better than that. And this offense, by the way, is no longer geared towards the running back. So I understand that does give you some hesitation, but in reality, you got to deal with 3 really good receivers and KJ Osborne, TJ Hockenson, you know, of course, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. You know, there's just going to be scoring opportunities. And plus, the Vikings defense really isn't that good. So I understand that maybe people will think, well, that's going to force them to throw more and yada, yada, it'll be down. But honestly, I just think it's going to lead to more high scoring opportunities for the offense. And I think that's going to help him in the touchdown department. So I'm in on Madison as well. I don't think we disagreed on any. So I think that's a little disappointing.
What is going on? Most of the time we've got some fire going, and this week it's just a love fest.
I don't like it. I don't like it. We're going to have to redo it. We're going to have to redo a show. We're going to have to redo a whole other show. So run down really quick for our 5 league winners this season. Of course, it's Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, James Conner, Kenneth Walker, Alexander Mattison, and honorable mention, Tony Pollard. Let us know in the comments if you disagree with any of these 5 league winners at the running back position. And the best part is you could get any one of these guys at any point. None of these guys are in the top 5. You could get Derrick Henry at the 1-2 turn, Joe Mixon at the 2-3 turn, James Conner, Kenneth Walker, and also Alexander Mattison much later in drafts. So there's opportunities for every single fantasy player to get one of these guys on their roster. Ben, before we close out the show, tell the people what you got lined up next at Razzball, wherever you write your content.
Well, at the moment, I just put out my latest quarterback article. I'm doing a rankings update at the moment. Now the training camp started and we're talking quarterbacks. I've started moving guys around. Lamar Jackson is going down. Anthony Richardson is lower than everyone else. You've got to read it to find out why. Running backs will be coming up soon. I've also got a heap going on Instagram. You can check us out there at the Fantasy First Down. We've also got a special personalized ranker thing going on Razzball. And if you follow Razzball and if you go to the Razzball site, that means that you are getting a special 20% off discount. So check it out and we will personalize rankings for your league. That means the rankings will be specially catered to your exact league setting. So check that out. Go to the article. You can even go up to the top right corner and search my names and you can find all the articles I've written on Razzball. There's a dozen or so there. They're fantastic. You're missing out if you don't check it out. And of course, you can go and check out all the other great stuff on Razzball as well. So hit us up.
If you have the time. If you have the time outside of all that stuff.
The time. It's fantasy season, baby. What else are we doing?
I love it. I love it, folks. Once again, these are our five league winners. Make sure you subscribe to the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel to check out all the content we got going on for this entire month of August. It's a draft season, folks. It's exciting. Follow us on TikTok and IG as well at Razzball Fantasy. And of course, make sure you jump over to Razzball.com to check out all the great writers from all the great articles about our from our great writers. I don't even know at this point. I'm just too excited because all the great content. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby Lamarco. Go follow me at Bobby Lamarco on Twitter. Once again, thanks to my co-host. Make sure you go follow him at Twitter at Fantasy First Down. No O. We are out of here, folks.
Peace.